Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Who is my neighbor? The righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the wicked. Who else is my neighbor? The rich and the poor, the weak and the strong. Is anyone else my neighbor? The great and the small, the arrogant and the humble. They are no different than I am. You must love your neighbor as yourself.
The world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my guide. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor.
To see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin.
Our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, sovereign in grace and love, maker of all things. We believe in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, the firstborn of a new creation. We believe in God's eternal Spirit, pledge and foretaste of the future, given that we may not lose the way, who has endowed us with a diversity of gifts. We are a pilgrim people on the way to the promised goal. On this way, we are called to live and work within the faith and unity of the one holy Catholic Church. In this unity, we offer our worship, witness, and service, and receive one another in love and joy. We are being led to the free obedience of the children of God, and so we look with yearning and hope to the final reconciliation of humanity with God and the renewal of all creation. Our scripture text this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are many people trying to climb the ladder of success today. Their goal is to achieve some level of success. Along the way, they focus only on themselves. While making their climb, they ignore the needs of others. Have you ever heard of Mount Everest? Standing 29,035 feet above sea level, it is the tallest mountain in the world. Thousands of people have climbed that mountain. Today, I'd like to share some of their stories with you. A British mountain climber, a 34-year-old man named David Sharp, died apparently of oxygen deficiency while descending from the summit of Mount Everest during a solo climb in May of 2006. New Zealander Mark Inglis, who became the first double amputee to reach the mountain's summit on prosthetic legs, told Television New Zealand that his party stopped during its May 15, 2006 summit push and found Sharp close to death. Several parties reported seeing Sharp in varying states of health and working on his oxygen equipment on the day of his death. Inglis said that Sharp had no oxygen when he was found. He said there was virtually no hope that Sharp could have been carried to safety from his position about 1,000 feet short of the 29,035-foot summit inside the low-oxygen death zone of the mountain straddling the Nepal-China border. His own party was able to render only limited assistance and had to put the safety of its own members first, Inglis said. "I walked past David, but only because there were far more experienced and effective people than myself to help him." Inglis said, "It was a phenomenally extreme environment. It was an incredibly cold day. The temperature was minus 100 at 7 a.m. on the summit," he said. Now, let's go back to the Bible story for today. It's the well-known story of the Good Samaritan. Before telling the story, Jesus is confronted by an expert in the law of Moses. This man asks, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" The lawyer quotes Deuteronomy 6, 5 and Leviticus 19, 18. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But then this lawyer, wanting to make himself look good, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" So Jesus tells him a story. The point of the story is to illustrate how to treat others. While traveling along the road to Jericho, a man's attacked by robbers, he's beaten, and left to die. First, we get to point number one. There are three kinds of people in the world. First, there are the takers, those who beat him up. This kind of person says, "What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it." We read about and hear about people like that every day. They rob and steal things from others. They have no regard for the law. They are criminals of the world. Our prisons are loaded down with these people. The second, they're the selfish, those who passed him up. This kind of person says, "What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it." They're not criminals, but they ignore the needs of others. They care only about themselves. Their time is theirs. Their possessions are theirs. They have no compassion for others. Let's examine this story a little closer. Many priests lived in Jericho. They went to and from their work at the temple. And when they saw this injured man, they passed him by. Now, I imagine that they had their excuses. "This man looks like he might be dead. If I go near him, I might defile myself. Well, I recognize his face. I remember offering sacrifice for him. I've done my duty, so I have no further responsibility." Or another, "Poor guy, he looks like he's done for. I guess he's beyond hope. There's nothing that I can do about it." The third, there are the compassionate people. That one who picked him up. This kind of person says, "What's mine is yours. Please take it." There's something that Jesus doesn't tell. And that's something that we need to tell that's important to this story. You see, the road to Jericho was somewhat like Mount Everest. It was a dangerous place to be. Many robbers hid along the road, and they were ready to attack passersby. They left the priests and the Levites alone, but other people traveling along the road, and especially if they were alone, they were easy targets. This poor man had been attacked. He was close to death. Not from altitude sickness, but from unfortunate circumstances. This poor man was in the danger zone. Some people chose to pass on, but the Samaritan chose compassion. Now, let's examine the reasons that those climbers use for not helping others in distress. If you give them your oxygen or your assets, you may not have enough for yourself. Or climbing Everest, you know, there is going to be danger, and you must know that. And if something goes wrong, there's little chance of rescue. Trying to bring down a dying climber would threaten other lives. Or if you know them, help them. If you don't know them, don't help them. If it's a commercial expedition, some people are paying tens of thousands of dollars to guides who are under fierce pressure to get their clients to the summit. Everest climbers must be forced to decide whether to jeopardize their once-in-a-lifetime investment or to help a dying person. Well, friends, let me tell you something. We are not mountain climbers. We won't face the choices mountain climbers do. However, we do run into people who need help along the way. Have you ever passed by a person in distress? I have. I've driven past people stranded along the highway. You've probably done the same thing. What are some of the reasons why we pass up helping others? Maybe we're too busy, or we're on a mission, so we're in a hurry. We may be putting ourselves at risk, or if I give, I might not have enough for myself. Or maybe I don't know them, so I'm not going to stop. That person's not going to die. Others in a greater crisis. Maybe someone more capable will come along to help them. Certainly, we don't live on Mount Everest, but occasionally we're presented opportunities to help others. Some of those choices are easy, no-brainers, and some of those present more ethical challenges. Just when to help and when not to. Just when to give and when not to. And sometimes we do more harm than good by helping someone. Is it right to keep bailing out a person with money problems? Is it right to keep helping someone who refuses to change, maybe due to drug or alcohol abuse, or a person that's a thief, a habitual drunk driver, a sexual abuser, a spouse abuser? In those cases, we need to be ready to help them. But if they keep having these problems, be sure that the person really wants to change. The Good Samaritan story puts the focus on each one of us. Sir Edmund Hillary in 1953 became the first mountaineer to reach Everest's summit. Hillary said in an interview published in a New Zealand newspaper that more than 40 climbers are thought to have seen him as he lay dying, and almost all continue to the summit without offering assistance. Human life is far more important than just getting to the top of a mountain, Hillary was quoted as saying in the interview with the New Zealand Press Association. Some climbers today do not care about the welfare of others. There have been a number of occasions when people have been neglected and left to die, and I don't regard this as a correct philosophy. I think the whole attitude toward climbing Mount Everest has become rather horrifying. The people just want to get to the top, he told the newspaper. He was wrong. If there was a man suffering altitude problems and was huddled under a rock, just to lift your hat and say good morning and pass on by. He said that his expedition would never for a moment have left one of the members or a group of members just to lie there and die while they plugged on towards the summit. Close to 3,000 climbers have reached the summit of Mount Everest in the last 55 years. And 280, at least, have died while they tried. Our second point today is that Jesus wants us to be like the Samaritan. Verse 36 says, "So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" He said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." What you need to know is a Samaritan was considered kind of a half-breed. Of full-blooded Jews, they hated them. They were the offsprings of a Jewish parent and a Gentile. And many captive Jews in Babylon had married Babylonian people. Remember how in the Wild West, the offspring of a white person and a Native American were called half-breeds? Well, they too were hated by the whites of the West. I think that Jesus used a Samaritan in his story to convict these Jews who thought so much of themselves. They thought that they were the good people who pleased God. Look again at verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came there where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." The Samaritan had compassion. The same word used to describe Jesus when he responded to the needs of others. Here are some other examples. From Matthew 14:14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick." Or Mark 1, verse 40 through 41, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Or Luke 7, 12 through 13, when it says, "And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, 'Do not weep.'" This is the same word that's used of the father of the prodigal son when he saw his son coming home. From Luke 15, when it says, "And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Compassion is more than just sympathy. It's sympathy plus action. When Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," he presumed you already love yourself. He calls for us to have the same measure of love for others. The same depth of compassion you feel for yourself should be felt for others. The Samaritan acted on this compassion. He knelt down beside him. You know, he had to get awfully close. He bound up his wounds. He poured wine and antiseptic on them. He poured on them oil, a healing balm. He put him up for the night and stayed with him in a motel, and he paid the remaining bill. There are some very compassionate Mount Everest climbers as well. You know, a few days after David Sharp's death on Mount Everest, another climber found himself in serious trouble. A 50-year-old named Lincoln Hall of Australia fell ill at around 28,543 feet. He was almost there, just short of the summit, and his two Sherpa guides tried to help him down, but eventually they were forced to leave him in order to save themselves. The guides reported that Hall died of swelling of the brain. He was officially declared dead. But the next morning, American climber Dan Mazur knew the bad weather had forced him to turn back a week earlier, and he was not going to stop until he reached the summit. Then he rounded a bend and he saw Lincoln Hall, and Mr. Hall was alive. He had his top, his hat, and his gloves off, and he was sort of jerking around, and his eyes were glazed. Mazur said, "The first thing he said was, 'I imagine you were very surprised to see me here.'" Hall said that he was articulate, but he was not all there. Mazur said he gave Hall some oxygen and some water and food, and he started to recover, and his thinking became clear. Eventually, Lincoln Hall was able to descend to the safety of base camp. Many people in this world today are trying to reach the top. They're not trying to climb Mount Everest. They're trying to climb the ladder of success. And in doing so, they meet a lot of people along the way. And many of those people that they encounter are in need of help. Sometimes people get helped. Sometimes people get passed up. Sometimes we help. Sometimes we pass up. Sometimes we help and we regret that we even tried. Sometimes we pass up helping and regret that we don't. How do we, learning to help, to share compassion, how do we find out that you can't learn it in a sermon? I can only challenge you to think about it today. Compassion can't be taught. It can only be caught as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Won't you pray with me this morning? We see them daily, Lord. We see them everywhere as we go about our business, the weak and the helpless and the abused and the homeless and the victims and the vanquished. We're no different than the men in your story, the ones who refused to help the beaten man on the road to Jericho. We too have passed by those in need on the other side of the road. We too have refused to help and have consciously chosen to remain uninvolved. Forgive our indifference, O Lord. May we become like the outcast Samaritan who did everything in his power to help the suffering. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus, who taught us to pray to you, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Savior, hear my thy throne of mercy. Find a sweet relief, healing there in deep contrition. Help my
listening to today's message. P Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are P Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in P Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pridgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. P Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.